last week on Jack Unmasked.
We had a fire in the house last night and Paula got burnt. She was in the hospital for 9 weeks, called out one day and to us, and she says, what are you guys doing on Saturday? And said, I'm in Mr. Pageant for Saskatoon. She won that with the big long dress on. She was, you know, like a model, you know.
Her goal was always to play the organ at our senior games, playing like mini sticks or something like that. She'd play the organ for us.
Three good kids now and good wife, and I think it's good.
That's right. Damn right you do.
Well, welcome to the Jack Norris Podcast. We like to call it Jack Unmasked. Hockey stories from the 60s and 70s. Proudly brought to you by the Simply Grounded Coffee Gallery in downtown Duluth. We hope you enjoy reminiscing about hockey as much as we do. So, without further ado, let's chat with Jack. Okay, we're back here with the Jack Norris Podcast, Jack Unmasked. Jack, how are things going today?
Good. Things are going really good. Nice day. It's warm. It's beautiful. It's
awesome. Awesome. So did you get a chance to watch any hockey this weekend? I know our favorite team, Boston, ended up losing out to Tampa there and everything. So I don't know. What did you end up thinking about how that went?
Well, you know, that Marchand thing with that tongue thing. And before that, he had kissed a guy or something. And, you know, that when he did that the other day, that just totally upset me when I seen that. And I watched that whole game yesterday. And you know who I was cheering for was Tampa Bay. I just didn't care if Boston won because I just thought, that was just bad, bad news when I seen that. Boston's lost a good fan as far as I'm concerned.
I got to imagine that the head office and a lot of the core fans are got to be complaining about that. And as good a player as he is, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if they did something.
Well, I don't know what they can do, but I know the league says if it ever happens again, he's going to get punished hard. He's going to get suspended and all that. So I don't think it'll ever happen again. But as far as I'm concerned, the damage is done. And it's just, it's bad, bad news when you see a guy in making $5 or $6 million a year and he's putting his tongue out to a guy on the ice. I mean, to me, that these kids see that, terrible.
Can you imagine a Boston Bruin player wearing the Boston Bruin jersey licking a guy's face?
Can you imagine what Cam Neely thought up in that press box? And Cam's a pretty serious guy.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't put up with any of that at all. And he sees that. What's going through his mind, I would like to know. So, you know what, to me, it's just, it's childness, it's just terrible, and I didn't like that at all. So,
they've traded Joe Thornton, they've traded Sagan before, Boston's traded some big-name players before, and it just wouldn't surprise me if they get the right deal that they would move them, because they'll be so upset of how that made a reputation on their team.
Well, I don't even know who would take him after seeing that, because there's a lot of bad press is going to happen over that over the summer, but I mean, that's what I would do. But you know what? He's their leader, so maybe they can overlook that. I don't know what the respect is, but it's just, to me, it's just uncalled for.
It's probably a big scar like on the organization. Like, I can't imagine that's going to fly too well.
If I was the goaltender on that team and I seen that happen, I would really be upset when I seen that. I'd say, what's this game coming to? Is it all turning around to do whatever you want on the ice? And that guy, he did it to you. He got mad. He shoved him back. He should have just drove him. I mean, how can you put up with that? I mean, you just can't. It can't at all.
Remember that trip we took to Boston there? That was, I guess, 5-6 years ago? It was for the 50th, your 50th anniversary of your first game. And we went to that one bar. I was going to say bar.
Yeah.
And those hardcore fans in there, remember them?
Yep.
And they found out. I was actually in the washroom and I was talking and a guy said he recognized, obviously I wasn't a local, and he started talking to me, and then he noticed obviously I had an accent and asked why I was there and told him we were there to celebrate your 50th anniversary. And of course he had a real thick Boston accent, very thick, and told him that, you know, we were here celebrating the 50th of your first game with Boston. And he was like, your dad played for the Bruins.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Oh yeah.
And then they came, well, can we come and see him? And we said, sure. And then anyways, they come over and they were like, these guys aren't buying any more drinks the rest of the night. Remember that?
I know. Well, yeah, I drank. I know exactly what you're saying.
But they were really hardcore, right? Remember he was like, see my knuckles? These knuckles here. I don't have knuckles anymore. And I was like, well, how come? He goes, because it's fighting Philly fans.
We're pretty safe in Boston after that, because nobody would ever come near and touch us for any reason at all. But that I think the whole bar come over to where I was sitting after all that was released and found out.
What do you think those hardcore fans thought of the Marchant issue?
You know what? Some guys, they would think it's okay because they're such Boston fans, they would never turn against them. But I think a lot of people would really be upset when they seen that, because just can't imagine accepting that as
No. So we'll see what happens. Those guys are going to have some decisions to make, and I'm sure they're pretty rattled over the whole thing, and we'll see what happens, because he is one of the best players in the NHL at the end of the day.
Yeah, he was, but you know, even that last game, he because he got the warning. They told him, see Char go up to him and talk to him during that game before.
Yeah.
And Char gave him the word, and he never said a word back. He just took it all in, and they said, you better cool it or you're going to be disqualified.
And the refs are on him now, too, because he got that penalty for exaggerating or something. And I mean, really, anybody else wouldn't have got it, but the refs are like, we've had enough of you, bud.
Bad news. Bad news.
So today we're going to talk about, you ended up signing with the WHA, with the Edmonton Oilers. You and actually Dave Dryden were the first goaltenders for the Edmonton Oilers, right? Because that was when they first came into play, right?
Dave Dryden wasn't there. No, it was another guy. Dave didn't go to the WHA.
Oh, who was it? Who was your...
I don't know who the first... Oh, Kenny Brown was the first.
Oh, Kenny Brown, yes. Yeah. You and Ken Brown were the first goaltenders.
Dave Dryden was... Oilers. We played with him in Chicago.
Yeah.
Is where Dave and I played together.
That's right. And... You were the number one guy in Edmonton, were you not?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's probably not that well known that you were the first goaltender, is it?
No, you can ask anybody who was the first goalie Edmonton Oilers ever had, and they don't know.
He didn't even get invited to that big celebration the Oilers had.
Because I never played in that rink with the Oilers. I played there once with...
Oh, in the Coliseum, Northlands Coliseum.
Yeah, I played in the old garden.
Yeah.
I went to Phoenix when that new rink opened up that year. And I come back and played in there as a guest, but not with the Oilers.
Yeah.
So I wasn't an Oiler.
Oh, so were they celebrating the rink or the Oilers back then?
Well, they're celebrating all the Oilers that played in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they were doing. So I know Skippy Craik, my buddy from Lloydminster, was sitting there. And I seen, of course, Gretzky and all those big-name guys were all there.
Yeah.
And but some guy that didn't even recognize, but I was told who it was after. And I says, holy cow, has he ever changed?
Oh, yeah.
But, I didn't. No, I didn't get invited for that simple reason.
Maybe the Oilers alumni should get their shit together.
I don't know. So, but anyway.
So let's tell the story of how you ended up signing with the Oilers. And we'll get into the story between you and Wild Bill Hunter, of how that all works out at the very end and ties into that. So you were in Seattle, right?
Yep.
In that year, I think it was 71-72, Seattle/Springfield that year. Tell us a little bit about that year and then how you ended up signing with the Oilers.
I was in Seattle, like you said, and it was just a kind of a disastrous year with the team. They must have had 50 players that come in and signed and didn't do nothing, and we just couldn't get off on the right track. We just didn't get winning, and it was a hard, hard year. But I'd heard before that, I don't know if it happened in the summertime or what, I talked to Bill Hunter or something. He said, would you come to Edmonton? And I said, well, talk to me. So anyway, during the winter, he phoned me in Seattle before that winter. And he said, we're still interested. Would you come and be our goalie? And so I said, well, tell me what kind of a contract you can offer. He said, well, we'll make up a contract and we'll send it to you and you can look at it and get back to us. So, and I had an agent, a guy out of California was my agent. I can't remember his name, but anyway, he was handling the contract. They said they sent a contract. It was for, I'll be honest, I was making $16,000 in the NHL on the NHL contract I was on with Seattle. And when they phoned and said, you can play in Edmonton next year and you can be our starting goalie, and they said you can make $45,000, $55,000, and $65,000 for a three-year contract.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, well, that's pretty good when you can triple your wage in 1 year.
Exactly.
And so I said, is it all signed, sealed, and delivered? If something happens to the league, do I get paid? And so everything was hunky-dory. And I said, before we signed the contract, I said I had $5,000 paid into the NHL of my wages for the
pension
plan.
Yep.
And so I said, if I don't play another 15 games, I don't qualify. Because you had to have so many games in to qualify for this.
Oh, okay.
So they gave me $5,000 So I was happy with that. And
yep.
I signed the contract, and then the season started, and I was pretty pumped up, I'll tell you. It was enjoyable playing for them.
Yeah, for sure.
Edmonton was good. That old gardens was the only thing. It was a kind of an old building, but the new one was being built, so.
So this is kind of a interesting stat. So I went back and looked. So when you were in LA and you'd left LA to go to Seattle and stuff, the goaltender that replaced you there was Rogie Vachon. Previous to that, you were in Montreal, and actually the goaltender that replaced you there was Vachon and Worsley. And in Chicago, it was Tony Esposito before that. And when you were first in Boston there, the two goalies that actually came in and replaced you there was Bernie Parent and Jerry Cheevers. Do you know what all these guys have in common?
Make a lot of money.
They may have made a lot of money, I guess, at some point, right? They're all goaltenders that are in the Hall of Fame.
Really? And sure. I'm the only one not.
Yeah, you're the only one.
But
not.
I'm in
yeah.
the Hall of Fame because of Ted Lindsay, because my picture's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, your picture's there, I guess. So technically, you're somewhere beside them.
Yeah. But
yeah, every goaltender replaced you ended up being a Hall of Famer.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's too late now. I can't do nothing about it now.
Yeah, so obviously who they replaced you with were pretty good goaltenders.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So you played in Edmonton for, what, 2 years? Tell us a little bit about how it was playing in Edmonton and what the crowds were like and what the team was like and the organization.
We had a pretty good team. We're playing against Bobby Hull and Gordie Howe, of course, with Winnipeg and Houston or whoever Gordie played for. Anytime they ever come in, the rink was right jammed, right full from the rafters. So it was a big draw. But a lot of times when you played against teams like from Philadelphia or someplace, and like Sanderson was in Philadelphia, and he was a bad start because he just didn't work out. So a lot of times they would come in and you didn't know anybody on the team, so it wouldn't be a big draw. I enjoyed it. I had good years in Edmonton. I played really good, and Harrison and Al Hamilton were the two main guys we had. Hamley was the captain, and it was entertaining.
He's still actually in Edmonton in the alumni suite, I believe.
Oh, I know Hamley really well. I've talked to him on the telephone, and he's a pretty good guy.
Maybe he can get us into that new rink for a game.
Oh, I'm sure he can.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you were there for 2 years, and you started to hear rumors that you might be getting traded or released or something. You wanted to come back, but you started hearing rumors you might not be. So you phoned Bill Hunter, Bill, your buddy, and you had a chat with him. And what ended up happening with that?
Well, I'll go back a little bit. The writer for the paper was Wayne Overland, and he was kind of assassinating me all the time on Bad Eric, we lose game 2-1, it was always my fault, and just stuff like that. So I could just kind of sense there was something up. So anyway, I just said to him, after the year was over, I walked into his office and I said, I know something's up, Bill, I just want to know what the problem is. And he said, oh, nothing, nothing. And the meeting went on, and so he says, well, I got to be honest with you. He says, we've signed another goalie for next year. And I says, really? Oh. And I says, like, who might that be? He says, Jacques Plante. And I said, Jacques Plante, he's got to be 50 years old, you're signing a guy. You think he's going to play steady, I said? I says, I'll guarantee you he won't. He'll be.
Yeah.
I said, well, you can back him up. I says, not in your life. I said, I would never do that. I would never back up Jacques Plante because you're getting all the bad games.
Yeah.
And every time
the
game's out of hand, Jacques will pull up with an injury and you got to come in and finish. So you're going to end up with all the crap games.
Yeah.
So I said, I walked out, so anyway, it turned out that next year, and I was like not invited to camp, and I said, I won't go to training camp, I just won't. So Phoenix Roadrunners were training in Saskatoon, and the manager was Bill McFarland, who I knew very well. I had him before as a manager. So I said to him, I says, you need a goalie. He says, well, we're not very strong in the net. He said, you know one? I says, yeah. And he said, by the way, he said, what are you doing here? So I said, well, I'm a free agent. He says, you're a what? I said, yeah, I'm not going back to Edmonton. I told him a story about Jacques Plante coming. He says, leave that with me, and I'll phone Bill Hunter and find out. He phoned Bill Hunter, and I think he had to give up a player or two. I don't know who to make Bill happy, but he phoned me next day on the farm. He says, come on into training camp. You're a free agent, and you play with us.
Nice.
So I trained with Phoenix there, and went down to Phoenix and had a good year that next year. And so then the next year came and I was playing with Gary Kirk down there, and Gary's off to a good start. And So we were playing Edmonton there one night in Phoenix, and Gary was playing, and I'm sitting there thinking, I don't like this, because I really had just a build up against Edmonton. I hated everything about it, been the way I got left there. So anyway, we got beat 5-2 in that game. So I walked into Sandy Huckle's office, he was our coach after, and said, you know, I says, I don't care if I play the rest of the year, I want to play. Only games I want to have to play is against Edmonton. I told him why, and he says, you got her. So anyway, we come back to in Edmonton one night. We had it was a good game. That was when I played in the New Gardens. The game was going on, and I was playing really well. I had pretty red hot and stopping mostly everything. And so the score was 3-2, and all of a sudden I stopped the puck, and I went down in front of me, and I went down to grab it, and this Bobby Sheehan, a little guy I played with him at one time, he come through, and his skate caught me right in the side. I had a mask on also, like that's when you had to wear a mask, and a skate caught me right in the side of the face and pushed my nose over to a side and cut me in the forehead and everything else. So I had to come out of the game anyway, and so I got in and got, and Gary Kirk played the rest of the game. So the game ended up 3-3. We ended up tying, and before overtimes were in, I think. And so I played against Edmonton every time after that. And I remember one night up in Edmonton, we were playing. I can't remember what the score was, but we won. And I had a great game. I never had any problem getting up for Edmonton. And I remember playing, so they announced the three stars. And I can't remember his first, second, or third. Jacques was, if he ever got the star of the game, which I never did see. I probably did earlier years when he was with Montreal or something. But he always come out, when he got picked as a star, he'd come out and give that V for victory sign with the arms.
Yeah, he put both arms up.
Yeah.
And do V for victory, skate around the ice.
Yeah.
That was Jacques Plante's thing, right?
That was Jacques' thing.
Yes. And so you're in Edmonton, and you're playing them.
Yep.
Now you tell the story.
So anyway, we skated off the ice, and they said you're, like I said, 1, 2, or 3 star. I didn't know. Probably first star. They announced the third and second, and the first star of the game is Jack Norris. So I skated out. I skated right out towards center ice and put the arms in the air, V for victory. Oh, there was some boos. I got booed. They didn't like that at all. Their man, Big Jacques, was defeated by somebody else.
Right,
and
yeah.
Even though I was the hero of the year before.
He should have beat you.
You all, yeah.
If he didn't want that, right?
So I thought, you know what? Suck it up.
Yeah, too bad for you guys.
Yep.
So that's pretty cool.
Yep.
That probably felt pretty good. Did the rest of the team know you did it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, they said, they all waited when they skated off the ice. They all stood there. They all stood there saying, you haven't got the guts to do it. I said, you watch, I'm going to do it.
Oh.
So they're all standing in the aisle waiting in the dressing room, and they're all seeing that. They're all clapping and hollering, yay, way to go, Norris.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, so.
That's awesome. That's a pretty cool story. I think that is really kind of wraps up your whole thing with Edmonton, right? You were their goalie for a couple of years, and then Bill he basically lies to you, tells you that you're coming back, and then basically screws you over, brings in Jacques Plante and tries to bury you, and you end up getting to take some pretty good revenge on their team, because I think you never lost to them again, did you?
Nope, didn't lose them all year.
You tied them, but you weren't there for that third goal, but
that's,
you never lost to them again.
Nope, we beat them every time. Remember one night in Phoenix towards the end of the season, and Rusty Patnaud, who played with Edmonton, is just a little guy, but he's a good little hockey player. And he come down the ice, and I had him beat 4-0, I think the score was, with 1 minute to go in the game. And Rusty came in and took a slap shot, and he really got a hold of it. I got a piece of it, but it just dribbled into the net. And I was so upset. And after the game, I had seen Rusty for a minute. He says, I didn't want you shutting us out. I said, well, I said, as far as I'm concerned, it was just as satisfactory as shutting you out, but I would have sooner had the shutout against you guys, because that would be just glory in my...
Yeah, that's right, hey? Yeah, no, that's awesome. I think that's our time here. We got 20 minutes already.
Perfect.
Goes faster than you think, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So next week, are we doing the Estevan story?
Sure. Why not?
We promise. Next week will be the Estevan story.
Unless we dream of something
better.
Yeah,
unless something else comes up. But, I mean, there's no rush, so... Okay, well, that's great, Jackson. Thanks for the story, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Yeah, bye. Well, that ends episode 15 of Jack Unmasked, where we learn, like any good athlete, the best revenge is served by getting a win against your former team and getting the 2 points. If you'd like to be notified of the next podcast, which comes out every Friday, go to www.nccag.ca. Click on the podcast tab, enter your email, and you'll be notified of each podcast as they come out. Until we talk to you next week, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
Talk to Bill Hunter. Would you come to Edmonton? It was the first goalie Edmonton Oilers ever had. I'll be honest, I was making $16,000 in the NHL. Edmonton next year, and you could be our starting goalie. And they say you can make $45,000, $55,000, and $65,000 for a 3-year contract. It was enjoyable playing for them. Edmonton was good. The writer for the paper was Wayne Overland, and he was kind of assassinating me all the time. We lose game 2-1. It was always my fault. So I could just kind of sense there was something up. I walked into his office and I said, I know something's up, Bill. He said, oh, nothing. I got to be honest with you. He says, we've signed another goalie. It's like, who might that be? He says, Jacques Plante. They said, well, you can back him up. I says, not in your life. I would never back up Jacques Plante because you're getting all the bad games. I won't go to training camp. I just won't. Phoenix Roadrunners were training in Saskatoon, and the manager was Bill McFarland, who I knew very well. I'm a free agent. He says, you're a what? Phone me next day on the farm. He says, come on into training camp. So we're playing Edmonton there one night in Phoenix, and Gary was playing, and I'm sitting there thinking, I don't like this. I really had just a build-up against Edmonton. I just didn't. I hated everything about it, been the way I got left there. We got beat 5-2 in that game. So I walked into Sandy Huckle's office. He was our coach after, and said, I says, I don't care if I play the rest of the year. Just, I want to play. Only games I want to have to play is against Edmonton. And he says, you got her. In Edmonton one night, and I was playing really well, so they announced the 3 stars. Jacques would, if he ever got the star of the game, go out and give that V for victory sign with the arms. First star of the game is Jack Norris. I skated right out towards center ice and put the arms in the air, V for victory. I got booed. So, I thought, you know what, suck it up.